just say the name of Jesus. Come on and shout it out.
Come on, if you're going to give the Lord a hand clap, let's really give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Come on, let's give him a clap this morning. Hallelujah. We thank you for your power, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Praise God. You can be seated. How many felt something happen just now in your body? You felt the touch of the Lord. It's wonderful. I want to encourage you. You know, healing is a gift. And if I give you a gift, you have to receive it. You can't just stare at it. You have to take it and say, I accept it. I receive it. And the Bible says, by his stripes we are healed. Healing is a journey. Healing is not always instantaneous. Sometimes it is. I've seen God do amazing things just that fast. Sometimes it could take a day or a week or longer. But I want you, no matter whether you're feeling something or not, I want you to receive and say, that's mine. Everybody say this with me. By his stripes, I am healed. So you make sure you're pulling on your end of the rope, right, to receive what God is giving to you. And I think it's wonderful. Thank you, elders and everyone. Worship team, appreciate that. Guys, I'm going to introduce somebody very special who's going to bring the message. It's a special couple. Pastor Steve and Jan Wilson pastored for years and years here in the city of San Jose, and I've known them for over 20 years, much longer than 20 years. The Great Christian Community Church, and later, why am I blanking the name of your recent name after Christian?
Live Heart.
Yes, thank you. It's Labor Day weekend, so my mind is just a little rusty. Live Heart Church, and they're a part of our fellowship with our churches, MFI, and we've been friends, Kathy and I, and the Wilsons, for a long, long time. And I just think it's interesting because next Sunday we start a series called Together, and our team, myself included, we've been working really hard to make sure this series is so strong and so good, because we feel like it's not just another series. It's a prophetic word to our church of how God wants to bring us together and form new friendships and new partnerships and new teams, so that nobody is doing life alone. Everybody's doing it together. And then, so that starts next Sunday. But here today, I'm going to introduce somebody to you that God is actually literally bringing onto our team. He is Pastor Steve and Jan have moved to Pismo Beach, but through a series of events, and we're in talks and working together now, they actually want to become a part of our vision to reach cities for God. They want to become a part of Gateway City Church. And so you're going to be seeing them and hearing more from them in the days to come. So I just thought, as we get ready to do this Together series, why not let you get to know them? Because they are marvelous, marvelous people, strong in the Word, strong in the Holy Spirit, strong in integrity, and they have a great marriage, a great family, and led such a great church for all these years. And so I'm just really thrilled that they're part of the family now, and I really want you to give them a Gateway family welcome, Pastor Steve and Jan Wilson, as they come to share the Word of God. We love you guys. Welcome.
We feel like you've greeted us so warmly already in the first service, and just everybody we've talked to. Thanks for just letting us already be a part. We feel something really, really awesome and dynamic in the Spirit. You know, Pastor David was saying he felt like some people probably were feeling some healing during that communion time. And my shoulder, I had surgery on it, and right after he said that, I was able to lift it up higher than I have through all the physical therapy. So I'm just claiming that, like he said. We were just outside of Pete's this morning and kind of reading the Word together, connecting a little bit, maybe being a little nervous. I don't know what we were doing, but in the Passion Translation, it says this in Psalm 24. It's all about you. Wait for it. Okay. So wake up, you living gateways. Lift up your heads, you ageless doors of destiny. Welcome the King of Glory, for he's about to come through you. It's not just during the worship service. It's the whole thing, right? You ask, who is this glory king? The Lord armed and ready for battle. The mighty one, invincible in every way. So wake up, you living gateways, and rejoice, fling wide, you ageless doors of destiny. Here he comes. The King of Glory is ready to come in, to come into our hearts, right? To come into our lives, come into every circumstance. You ask, who is this King of Glory? He's the Lord of victory, armed and ready for battle. The mighty one, the invincible commander of heaven's hosts. Yes, he's the King of Glory. Can you say that with me? Yes, he's the King of Glory.
Amen. Good morning, Gateway. Good morning, Liveheart. And good morning, everyone else. Our message this morning is called the Jaywalk. And I'm going to challenge us, as I am challenged myself, to actually be a jaywalker. Now, I know, the mind starts going like, jaywalking, isn't that illegal? That's something you don't do when you don't cross through a crosswalk across the street. Or some of you that are so spiritual, you may think, oh, the J, it stands for Jesus. And we're going to do the jaywalk. And actually, that's probably more correct than the former. That yes, we are going to do the jaywalk, but it's outside the lines. It's not using the crosswalk. You know, that crosswalk for me, when you think of it, I don't know how you think of in terms of a crosswalk when you're crossing the street, but we know we look for it. It's the legal way. It's the safe way. It's the comfortable way. We feel like everything's good as long as we're in the crosswalk. But wonder if you decide to go outside the lines and you decide, you know what, I'm going to cross over somewhere else because I need to get where I'm going. Let me tell you my jaywalk story. I have a jaywalk story. It was on May 1st, 2011. It is significant to me that God spoke some things to me. It was actually a pretty dark time personally for me. The Lord has a way of drawing you out of your problems. Huh? And it's amazing how it happens when all of a sudden the Lord brings somebody else to take care of or to focus on, right? You get your mind off of your own world real quick. Well, this is what happened to me on May 1st, 2011. I'm walking, I'm jogging as I would normally do. And even on Sunday morning before church, I'm on my jog. I'm going down the Los Gatos Creek Trail there, and I get close to an intersection where Bascom Avenue crosses over the trail. Bascom Avenue happens to be a very busy street, probably about four lanes, two on one side, two on the other, a median in the middle. I'm getting close to that street, and all of a sudden, and I'm consumed with my thinking, and I'm also trying to think about my message that morning. I'm a little bit in prayer, but I'm also trying to breathe as I run. And as I get a little closer to Bascom, I'm noticing some ducks. I'm noticing some ducks walking up the trail. They're going up the trail, and they're going up toward Bascom Avenue to that busy street. So immediately, I'm leaving my own thoughts, and I'm focusing on the ducks and realizing immediately that they are going to endanger themselves. They're heading for the street. They're going to go across that street, that busy street. Those little ducklings, it's a mama duck and about six little ducklings, little tiny ducklings, just tottering along behind mama, just trying to keep up. And so they're getting close, and I'm thinking, oh, no, they're not going to cross the street. Maybe they'll stay on the sidewalk. And as soon as I start thinking that, then I get up there, I'm up on the sidewalk, and sure enough, they jump off the curb, one by one. They're jumping off the curb, and they're starting across the street, and I didn't even think about it. I thought, I've got to do a jaywalk here. I didn't even think of that deliberately. There was no thought of whether it was a jaywalk, whether it was legal, where's the crosswalk, none of that, right? It's a mindless act where you just simply are responding, reacting to to the danger. And I literally, like a madman, ran out into the middle of that street, that busy street, cars going everywhere, even on Sunday morning, just going everywhere. And then I'm thinking, okay, maybe they'll get stuck at the median. No, they didn't get stuck at the median. For some reason, they were able to hop up and go across. And I'm just literally yelling and waving my arms, stop, 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 stop. And cars are going by and they're honking and some of them are looking at me like, what are you doing? And then they see the little ducklings just tottering across the street, and literally traffic stopped on both sides while the little ducklings went across. And then as soon as they get to the other side, there's a curb, but it's higher than the median. So they're trying to hop up on the curb. They're hopping up and they can't get up. They can't get up. So now I gotta touch them. I go down, I'm starting to touch, and I hit their little fannies, and I'm fanning them up. You know, we're hop, up you go, hop, hop you go, hop, hop you go, hop, hop you go. And so they went up to safety on the other side. That's my jaywalk experience. But then I'm realizing the Lord has been the master jaywalker, because Jesus came to us in very unorthodox terms. He didn't necessarily go by the way of all people. He went another way. He went outside the lines. He chose to jaywalk. And Jesus, he did it. He was moved to do that. I think Jesus always started in his heart before he acted. Something happened in his heart. Jesus moved when he was moved. Does that make sense? Jesus moved when he was moved. I moved toward the ducks without thinking about it because my heart was moved. Jesus was the first to take a jaywalk for us. Come on, it's the ultimate exercise of Jesus, divine God, leaving heaven and coming to earth and taking on the flesh of man to become the Savior of the world. He took that huge leap across the cosmos, that jaywalk. Philippians 2, 6 to 8 says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form and was born as a human being, when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God. And he died a criminal's death on a cross. Jesus put it out there, didn't he? Jesus took the jaywalk for you. Jesus took the jaywalk for me. There's a saying that we started in the 90s called, What would Jesus do? But I want to propose another question with that. We have focused on that for a number of years, of what would Jesus do? But let me ask you this. I want to know, first of all, what did Jesus do? Because I can learn a lot of what would Jesus do if I know what Jesus already did. Aren't we supposed to be like Jesus? Don't we want to be like Jesus? Aren't we supposed to copy Jesus? Aren't we supposed to emulate him? Well, how are we going to do that? We have to look and see, how did he do it? What did he do? Jesus was moved with compassion. That's what he did. First of all, Jesus, he moved. He acted. He came toward us with compassion. Matthew 9:35 in the Amplified says, when he saw the throngs, he was moved with pity and sympathy for them because they were bewildered and harassed and distressed and dejected and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus would do the unthinkable. He would go against culture. He would go against the expected of the religion of his day, the particular guidelines that were set up. Jesus defied all of those. I want to do what Jesus did. Not just do what I think he would do, but to do what he did. And you know what? The beauty is Jesus said we would do that. We would do what he has done. John 14, 12. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done. And even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. So here we have the promise already that you will, if you believe in Jesus, you will do some of the things he's done. Now I know, I've heard it preached, I've preached it this way, I've interpreted it this way, that in my mind, my mindset, when I think of this scripture right here, well, that means we're going to do the big stuff. We're going to do the stuff. We're going to heal the sick. We're going to raise the dead. We're going to see the miracles. We prayed for people today. We're doing what Jesus did. Yeah, we are. We're doing right now with that what Jesus did. But what about other things? What about the jaywalking part? What about relationships? What about the relationships? Do we jaywalk with our relationships as Jesus did? Do we step over the line? Do we go beyond what is expected and safe? Or do we really take a risk of criticism? But here we see that Jesus, we can do the same works you did. And I want to say, you know what? Let's go and do likewise. Let's do what he did. Let's do relationships the way he did. And you know how he did relationships? He didn't hang out with church people. And we love to hang out with our church people. We love to hang out with our homies. We do love to be with those that we can be ourselves and be familiar and, you know, all of that. That's where we feel safe. That's your crosswalk. Hate to tell you, but that's your crosswalk, is to be with each other. We love each other. But Jesus didn't just love his inner circle. Come on. He wasn't a clique. Jesus was not a clique maker, and he wasn't a clique keeper. He was always looking to go beyond the clique. His eyes were always beyond the circle. Who can we bring into the circle? Who can I walk across? Who can I jaywalk into their world? Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, about the works of Jesus, about the acts of God. In the Amplified says, therefore become imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example as well-beloved children. Imitate their father and walk continually in love. That is, value one another, practice empathy and compassion, unselfishly seeking the best for others. John 20, 21, Jesus did. He breathed on them the Holy Spirit, but he said, as the Father has sent me, I send you. So again, think about what Jesus did, especially in relationships and connection with people. His attitude about the unchurched, about the lost. Believe it, I mean, we know this, but it bears repeating. They were the main event. They were the main reason he came. You were the main reason he came, and then you got saved. Now they're the main reason he came. Come on. That's the teaching, you know, of the shepherd, leaving the 99. That's the teaching of Jesus saying, no, they don't rejoice over the 99. The 99 are already there. They got celebrated earlier. Now we're on the one. So as he was sent, now he sends you. Do the works of Jesus, what he's already done with people. What did Jesus do? Here is what he did. I love this because this is the jaywalk. He risked his reputation to pursue what mattered most to God. Jesus went after you. Jesus pursued you. You know, our Jesus, our Holy Spirit, our Father, he's the relentless pursuer of men and women. He's always after you. He's always looking. You know, you don't find Jesus. You just let yourself be found. Because he's already there. He's already there. He risked his reputation. You realize, what was his reputation? His reputation was well known, especially in the religious world of his day, that he was actually called a friend of sinners. A friend of sinners. Are you a friend of a sinner? I mean, really, do we have sinner friends? Sinner friends, are they acquaintances? Or, you know, it might be a golf buddy or whatever. No, I'm talking about friends. I am. And I know there's different levels of friendships and relationships. I get that. It doesn't mean that you're a participator in their behavior or whatever, but you can still connect with them. You can still be a friend to them in spite of the different behaviors. Because Jesus did that. Jesus did that. He tolerated their behavior. He did. He risked his reputation. I don't know about you, but I'm not sure the church is at a place where the church is really known as a friend of sinners. How would that be for a church name? Huh? The Church of Jesus, friend of sinners. You know, instead we'll say, well, all is welcome. Yeah, all are welcome. That doesn't mean I want to be your friend. I mean, let's be real. We might like them at church, but we might not like them, you know, around our table, watching a football game. I don't know. I don't like the language. Well, friends put up with friends and all the stuff. Because Jesus did. He did. We have to work on that. I think we have to work on that. Jesus walked into the sinner's world. When he went to Levi's house, when he went to Matthew's house, you know, he took a lot of criticism for that. In fact, they asked him, why he asked the disciples, you know, the Pharisees were cowards for some things. They didn't ask Jesus this directly. They went to the disciples, hey, what your master, your rabbi, your teacher, how come he hangs out with scum? That's what it says. Why does he eat with such scum? Jesus overheard him and he said, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Those are the ones we want to go to. So here's the deal. When you think of that rationally, logically, Jesus actually pursued relationships with unhealthy people. And I know we've had all the teaching of pursuing relationships, pursuing friendships. Oh, you know, we can have healthy friendships, but still be unhealthy. Does that make sense? That can happen. It is possible. Because nobody is 100% healthy. We all have something. So Jesus would pursue that relationship with the unhealthy person. I'm going to share with you about Peter. I didn't do this in the first service. Peter was called, this was hard on Peter. Peter was called to be a jaywalker. The Holy Spirit came to him in Acts chapter 10. He was going to introduce a whole new deal. The church had basically been reserved for just the Jews, and then Samaria actually got touched too. But now it's going to spread out into the Gentile world to take the ultimate for Peter, to take this jaywalk into the Gentile world. For 10 years, it had been 10 years that the church had been pretty ingrown. Yeah, there was persecution and they spread out, but Peter was told to jaywalk into the Gentile's home, Cornelius. You remember, some of you will remember this story, that he's at noontime and he's getting ready to eat lunch, and some of you are wanting to have lunch right now. In fact, I can just sense that you, like Peter, while your hunger pangs are coming, but yet there's going to come a vision to you. A sheet. It looks like a sheet dropping out of heaven. And you're so hungry that you think, God is showing me food to eat. He's showing me right now what restaurant I'm going to go to. It's got to be good. And then he looks, and it's like, oh, no. Oh, no. I'm hungry, and it's lunchtime, but I'm not eating that. I've always eaten clean food. And that's exactly what happens. The sheet lowers, as you know, and God says, Peter, kill it and eat it. And he actually, like only Peter can, say, no way, Lord. Nuh-uh. Come on, you know me better than that. You know me better than that. I don't touch that stuff. I don't hang out with that. I don't eat that. That's not me. I don't go with those people. I don't hang out with those. Because you know me. I'm more righteous than that. I'm more holy than that. I mean, paraphrasing it, he said, hey, never. No, never. And I never will, Lord. Come on, Peter. I want you to jaywalk over to the other side where you've been. I know you've never done this, but now I'm asking you, I'm calling you to go to the other side. In fact, let me read to you verses 14 and 15 in Acts 10. God's saying this, do not call something unclean if God has made it clean. This is what we do. We judge. He's looking at it and he's already determined. That's unclean. That's no good. And God's saying, I've touched it, I've blessed it, I've consecrated it, I've sanctified it, I have set it apart, and you are going to eat it. You are going to engage. You know why? Not because it's unclean, but because I say it's clean, it's clean. And God is saying they're all clean. In other words, they're touchable. They're edible. You can touch it. Verse 28 says, but God has shown me, he shares this later with Cornelius, God has shown me I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean. Listen to it in the Passion Translation, Acts 10:28. You know all that it is against the Jewish law for me to associate with or even visit the home of one who is not a Jew. Yet God has shown me that I should never view anyone as inferior or ritually unclean. He later on says in verse 34 and 35, when he's preaching to Cornelius' house later on, he said this to the house of Cornelius before the Holy Spirit fell. He said, God plays no favorites. It makes no difference who you are or where you're from. If you want God and are ready to do as he says, the door is open. That's the God we serve. But wait, wait. I want to do what Jesus did. You want to do what Jesus did? Look what Jesus did with the Samaritan woman. And then he calls Peter to do the same kind of thing, to cross over, to take the jaywalk. He calls us to step up. People matter to God. People matter to God the most. There is nothing second, not even a close second, of how much people matter to the Lord. Do not go out that door and lock eyes with any other person, any person you lock eyes with, and do not think in your heart that they don't matter to God. They matter most to God. They matter the most to God. Think of all the things in the world. Think of all the problems. Think of all the effects and the consequences of sin. Think of everything that's going on in the world. And the one thing that matters most to God is the people he died for. It has always been true. It's true then. And here's the deal. Didn't it say Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? So if that's true, the agenda has not changed. And his church, you the church, are the instrument. And you're the instrument for him to say, hey, I'm showing you something that looks unclean, impure, something that you feel like that you are not to partake of. But I'm telling you, you need to go and partake. Because that's what I died for. I think one of the illustrations that just blew us all away, it was a story that went all over the world that I'm still touched by. And that was back in June when we learned the story of 12 boys, the wild boar soccer team in Thailand. The Thai soccer team, the wild boars, the 12 boys and their coach, their assistant coach, their 25-year-old millennial coach, the second chair, who took the boys into a cave, as they actually had done before. And they went down into this cave and they got trapped, didn't they? They got trapped by the rains, the monsoons. They got down. They were down from the surface of the ground. They were down all the way a half a mile down. A half a mile into the belly of the earth in a very small cave. And they were actually 2.5 miles from the entrance of that cave. And water had filled into this cave and they were trapped in one little compartment. I love this story because it reminds me of our God, of our Jesus, our Savior, because that was us. That is us. We are trapped. We are in the belly of the earth. We are there in darkness, utter darkness. And as you know, it captivated everybody's attention that the humankind, the world, would rally together. And there would be many countries collaborating and partnering. And it was really hundreds of rescuers, different ones, to make this happen. And many said it was impossible of how they would go into that cave and pull them out. And it wasn't 99%. It was 100%. They saved them all through miraculous means. Why? Why would we do that? Only 12 boys, 12 remote, isolated. We don't know them. But for some reason, mankind, humanity, was able to generate in their heart a compassion to take the jaywalk and go after them, not even knowing them. on the other side of the world. That's fascinating to me. But that's what the church should feel like. That's the way the church should be. You know that there are people out there that need friendship, need relationship. They do, they may not think they do, but they need rescuing. They need to come to know Jesus. They need what you have. That what was missing, when those boys were missing, everybody thought, they're gone. They're gone. But they came back, didn't they? All right. I want to share with you, and we're going to close here in a moment. I'm going to share with you what I call, we're not going to hit all of these, called the Jaywalker's Call. The Jaywalker's Call. So I'm going to challenge you today. Are you a jaywalker? You want to be a jaywalker? We're giving you permission. Because some of you feel like you don't have permission. You're standing on the curb, and you think, they're right there, but I can't get to them because I have to do it this way or I have to do it that way. But you can get to them. Just do it. Step up. Jesus calls his jaywalkers to step up, to take responsibility. It's not that hard. You know what? This isn't that hard. I'm not even asking you to witness. I'm not asking you to witness. I'm not asking you to make a gospel presentation. I'm not. I don't think even Jesus is asking you to do that. Well, what about the Great Commission? Yeah, the Great Commission. But what opens the door for the Great Commission? I'm telling you, there's preliminary things that needs to happen for the Great Commission to happen. They don't want to know, they don't want to know what you know about God. They want to know that you love them, that you care about them. You're not out getting numbers. You're not out proselyting. Come on, you don't have an edge. You don't have leverage. Some kind of, you know. You are just want to be their friend. Would you be their friend even if they don't accept Christ? Oh, well, now you're their friend. No, come on, you are. That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like. Because you give them the opportunity to accept or reject. It's not like, oh, they reject. Well, forget them then. No, no. You're with them. You're going to walk through life with them. They're friends for life. You're going to impact their forever in one way or the other. It's not that hard. The great preacher C.H. Spurgeon said this, evangelism. You want to know what evangelism is? Very simple. One beggar telling another beggar where to get bread. That's it. Even Mr. Rogers. Anybody know Mr. Rogers? We've been a little exposed to Mr. Rogers. Even Mr. Rogers can weigh in on this. You know what he said? This is a quote. There is something of yourself that you leave at every meeting with another person. That's the wisdom of Mr. Rogers. But it kind of sounds like a Jesus statement to me. That you can leave a little bit of yourself. Just go out there and be with them. Be with them. What I call, what we'll call the be with principle. How about the show up principle? Some of us just need to show up. Some of us just need to be with them and then let God do what he's going to do. Become that salt and light. The proximity of just being there. My wife, Jan, will tell you that I never, when I go to Starbucks, I never want to do drive-up. For one thing, it's true, I'll admit. I don't want to do drive-up because I don't like anybody else doing my cream for me. I don't trust anybody else to put my own hat on. I put my hat on because I get it right. And I put my own cream in my coffee because I'm the only one that can get that right. So don't try to put cream in my coffee. I'll be all over you. But another reason I don't like drive up, honestly, it keeps us in our car. Huh? Come on. There are things that are keeping you in your car. And God's saying, get out of the car. Get out of the car and go into where the people are. Be with them. Be around them. I love that interaction. I want to look at them in the eye. I want to see what they're doing. I want to hear their, yeah, I'll even eavesdrop on their conversations. It's fun. It's fun to be with people, especially unchurched people. In closing, I want to pray this prayer. Brandon Heath, he sung a song called Give Me Your Eyes. And I think this is a song for the hour. I think the lyrics are there to be that jaywalker that God wants us to be. We have to have the heart of Jesus, the eyes of Jesus, the love of Jesus, and the arms of Jesus. Pray with me, would you? Just pray in your heart as I read this to you. Jesus, give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Let's not get calloused. Let's not get indifferent. Let's not get hard. Let's not get religious. Let's not get so staid in ourselves. You're here not for yourself. And this may be a news bulletin, but you're not even in church for yourself. We are a one another community. We are a one another community. Do you realize there's over 30 commands in the New Testament that you cannot fulfill by yourself? It's called the one another's. So when you come to church, it's not about you. It's about the other. That's why you need to be here. Show up. Be with one another. And when you go out there, be with them. Be with them. Go over to them. Just start a conversation. Watch what God might do.
Awesome. We're going to take the jaywalk.
Amen. That's good.
We're going to have some worship music and close the service in just a minute. I really appreciated that message, especially the part about the sheet coming down with the food that you're not supposed to eat. Kathy leaned over and said, see, you can have carbs. It's a sheet full of cinnamon rolls coming down. I don't know. That's what I got out of it. So thank you for the message. As we worship, we're going to receive the tithe and offering. Thank you for your love and generosity and for standing with the mission of our church. This is what it's all about, taking the jaywalk, reaching. This is why we sing, serve, give, reach out, believe for cities, because we want to go after the lost. So thank you for helping us do that. We're going to come back and close in just a minute. I understand it's Maria Higginbotham's last Sunday. So a few of us here are going to pray over her. She's going to join our Gateway Phoenix team. Hallelujah. So she'll be moving down that away. And so any friends and family of Maria's, meet us here at the front after the dismissal, and we're going to have prayer. All right, let's serve everyone. Let's worship together.
Thank you, Jesus, that you come after us with your great love. We worship you, Jesus. See, there's no shadow. There's no shadow you won't light up. Mountain you won't climb up. Coming after me. Come on, think about everybody out there who's lost. There's no wall you won't kick down. Lie you won't tear down. Coming after me. His love is reaching out. There's no shadow you won't light up. Mountain you won't climb up. Coming after me. Oh. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Sing no shadow, there's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. Oh. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
How many jaywalkers do we have here in the house this morning? Because we're going to have opportunities. I believe the Lord wants to give us opportunities this week. But we found that not only do we do it individually, but we do it together. We're starting a new series next week. Pastor Dave is going to kick it off called Together. And we encourage everybody to not only come and be together, but also get involved with our life groups. Out in the lobby here, you can find we have men groups, women groups, young professional groups. Either get in a group and or start a group. Bring your unsaved people, etc. And let's cross and let's be jaywalkers together. And that's a perfect opportunity to do that. I'm going to pray a blessing here. Then we're going to have our altar teams up here if you need prayer. But Lord, today, this morning, it is this afternoon. We thank you, Father, for your grace right now in Jesus' name. Help me speak, Lord. And we thank you for opportunities this week, Lord God. We're going to walk out the doors here, and we're going to go out into a world that needs you. And so, Jesus, thank you for the opportunity to be able to be used by you. I speak blessing over every person here, grace, courage, and the grace of your anointing to lead us into those days. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. God bless you. Come get some prayer. We'll see you out in the lobby.